1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. And our new tracks are in. I had some tracks made up in relation to our emergency alert that we got a couple Saturdays ago. And it says, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. On the front it says, were you ready? And on the inside it says, what was your answer? And it actually has some good tips about what to do in the event of a nuclear disaster.
It's over.
Run. And panic. Loot. No, it does give you some good help. So I was actually pretty amazed to see there are actually things that you should and can do in the event of things, unless you get, obviously, it right on your head, then you're you're goner. But if it's a few miles away, there are actually some things that you should and can do, and it's in this tract. And then also, if it is right on your head, there are some things on this side that tell you that how you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. And so that's important. And this thing is, this topic is still buzzing in our community. In fact, the guy who actually sent out the alert is telling his side of the story, and he's got all the, you know, the in the dark voice change and all that kind of thing. He's like under in their protection and all that kind of thing. It's kind of weird, but people are talking about it, and so these are really relevant. And so they're in the back. We actually have 5,000 of them. And so growth group leaders, grab some for your groups that maybe you can pass out in your neighborhoods and communities. Everybody else, grab them, grab as much as you want. If we run out back there, we'll just put more stacks out because we've got plenty of these. And so they're a little bigger for readability, but pick them up. They're in the back, all right? And so back there and by that TV in the back there. But we are in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we are going to read this morning the story of David and Goliath. And we're just going to read a few, we're going to kind of skip, I'll show you where to go because to read the whole story would take us a little while this morning. But I do encourage you to read the whole story of David and Goliath as found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It is very amazing and incredible what God did through really a young boy. And so 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to begin reading in verse number 2. Here's what the Bible says. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I believe that's somewhere near 9 feet, 9 inches tall is what that is there. Continuing reading in verse number 5, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not of Philistines, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down unto me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And we'll jump down to verse 17, continuing in the story. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And now we'll jump down again to verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, when he heard he spake unto the men, and Eliab's brother was kindled against David, and said to him, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left thou few hundred sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And we'll pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this story. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can come together today to hear your word, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and to realize there is a purpose, there is a cause for which we fight today. And God, I pray that you bless this message. I pray that you use this time in my heart and the hearts of those here today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. For me, the question that David asks in verse 29 of 1 Samuel chapter 17 is incredible. Here is a young man, really a boy, who is so full of faith in what God can do. And he has seen some amazing things in his life. We're going to talk about those in just a little bit. He's seen God help him take the life of a lion and a bear. I have not done that. And it would seem that God allowed him to do that with minimal weapons. Pretty amazing. Now, he comes to see the battle, to see what's happening with this standoff between the Philistines and the armies of God, the armies of Israel. And when he sees what is happening on the battlefield, something is moved within him. Something is inspired within him, and he begins to get really upset about what he sees. Something so great that as a teenage boy, he decides he is going to fight Goliath on his own. And it is one of the most popular stories in all of the Bible for a reason. It's an amazing story. But what can we as Christians today learn about David and his battle with Goliath as we seek to find our purpose in 2018? And I do believe there are a few keys to help us in our journey to love God, to grow together, and to serve others. You see, David asks, is there not a cause? I love that phrase. Is there not a cause? The word cause means the reason or motive for some human action. And again, our theme for this year is with purpose. The word purpose has a very similar definition where it means the reason for which something exists or is done. So cause is the reason or motive for some action, and purpose is the reason for which something exists or is done. Cause and purpose are very similar words. And so David is asking, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for why we're doing what we're doing? And we might even say that, is there not a purpose for why we do what we do? And when David looked at the scene before him, when we looked at Goliath, when we looked at the armies of the Philistines, he found courage. Something that nobody else in the camps of the armies of Israel could find in that moment. And he followed his purpose to a great victory. You know, today when we look at the scene of our world, we also find an overwhelming situation. We see a lot of giants before us. We see a lot of overwhelming odds, and we see hurt, we see pain, we see angerness, we see bitterness, we see sadness all around us. And I saw a pastor on Facebook today. He asked, he goes, do you think there is hope for America? We've gotten to the point as Christians where we look at our world and we wonder, is there any hope? We wonder, can the gospel actually be effective in 2018? Will people actually come to Jesus Christ? Will there actually be a difference that can be made in our communities? And there are a lot of Christians, sadly, who see the world in which we live, and they wonder, is there hope?
And today, the Bible and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit within us, wants to tell us in resounding answer that yes, there is a cause. Yes, there is a purpose. And yes, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, even today. And that those who hear can believe. But how shall they hear without a preacher? We have to continue as Christians to go forward with our purpose, with our cause, to make a difference in our community. Giants are threatening, but somebody has to be willing to fight. Somebody has to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to live this life on purpose. I'm not going to get myself entangled with the affairs of this life, but I'm going to live for the cause of Jesus Christ. There are giants in our world. There's giants of sickness. There's giants of sadness and mental illness. There's giants of drug addiction. There's all kinds of giants that we face. There's giants of poverty. There are giants of hardship and despair that come into our world. And there are people who are living even around us that have these giants. And the truth is we have giants in our own lives. And we have come face to face with these giants. You know, again, one of our church members is in the hospital this morning. And I don't know how bad it is. That's a giant. And we have seen the giant come face to face with us when we talk about the things that suicide that has touched our church in the last few months. And we're faced with these giants that come up to us. And honestly, they are scary giants. They're not things that we can look at and just look at and say, you know what? No big deal. Because they are a big deal. And they are scary. And they are in front of us. And we look at them and we wonder, is there hope? But when we face these giants, we do have a choice. Truth is we could have the choice to respond like David's brothers and Saul and the rest of the army of Israel were in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 11. The Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And that could be our response. When we see our world, when we see these giants, we can be afraid and greatly dismayed. And honestly, at that point, I don't think you can blame anybody. They had every reason to be afraid. And sometimes we read stories in the Bible and we criticize those who had struggles of faith in their moment of faith, when they lacked faith. Yet when you and I put ourselves literally in their shoes, which one of us is going to march down into the valley and fight a guy that's over 9 feet tall? I mean, really? And we say, you know, I mean, he's armored head to foot. I mean, most of us, honestly, would have trouble even carrying his weapons. We'd have to get a wheelbarrow out just to get his spear, and he's going to throw that right through you. I mean, this guy is a beast. we might even say he's almost, I mean, think about this. One of the biggest humans that I would reference in our world today is Shaquille O'Neal. He's huge. 7 foot tall. Goliath got him by 2 feet. And you're going to march down there. Oh yeah, come on, armies of the Israel. Have some faith in God. It's a giant. You know, it's something that they're obviously scared. Maybe if we all get him at once. I mean, who's going first, right? This is scary. They have a reason to be afraid. He was unlike any person that you and I have ever seen. Again, you go fight him. There are giants. The giants that are in our lives are just as daunting. And until you face them, many times you don't understand the terror that they can inflict when they show up. And sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, we'll look at another Christian who's struggling with a giant in their life and we'll say, hey, have some faith. Just take it on. And the response is, hey, you try it, Mr. Big Faith. And the reality is no, sometimes these things are scary. You know, I'm getting to the point now where I'm almost a little bit shell-shocked when I answer the phone. And what's it this time? Not in the sense that I don't want you to call. I do. In fact, bring some encouraging news. But many times it's like, oh, so-and-so's this and so-and-so's that and this happened there. And it's just, they're giants. We face it. And we stand there and we go, what are we to do? And the reality, we look at the giants that we face, and we don't look at our when we look at our church, we don't see a mighty army of thousands of people that can just band together. We see a small group. I'm happy with it, and I'm pleased with it, but the reality is we're not a massive group of people. We're a small band of Christians. A few humble folk who really the truth is we all struggle in our own lives to live with our purpose every single day. That's the reality. And yet, when we find that purpose, when we find that cause that God has called us to live for, we will find the strength and the courage to fight and overcome our giants. And yeah, we'll bear one another's burdens and we'll pray for each other and we'll be there for each other, but we need that cause. We need that purpose. And as a pastor, I wanted to narrow down the most important things that are essential to the life of a Christian. In other words, when we began this, looking at the theme for this year, I said, you know what, I want to have some things in our church, in our lives, that we focus on that are absolutely essential to success as a Christian. I don't want to get bogged down with meaningless things or things that don't matter. Again, there's some things that they're not bad, but they're not necessarily essential. And sometimes in Christianity, you'll find that a lot of stuff, to be very honest, though, is not essential. That's absolutely necessary to overcoming the giants in your life. Take, for example, being a Baptist. Now, I'm a Baptist. And this is a Baptist church. But is being a Baptist essential? Yes! Of course it is, right? What are you thinking? Of course it's essential. No, the reality is David overcame Goliath without being a Baptist. So what did David have? What did David have in his life that was absolutely essential? What do we need to have? And I've boiled these things down to these three mottos that we have on our wall. The first thing that David had that we need to have is to love God. That was his cause. What got David fired up? What got him so angry? What got him so upset? Hey, what are you doing? It happens in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 and 46. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. That's the key. Whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. Talk about that. I mean, this is a teenage kid. The Bible says he's ruddy. What's ruddy? I don't know. Scrawny. Puny. Not very impressive. Ruddy. And here he is. Here he's coming. And he says, hey, I will smite thee. I will take thine head from thee. Whoa. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. What was David's cause? He loved God. He absolutely loved God. Before David became king, when he was fleeing from the presence of Saul, God used him to write Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, verse 1, again, before he's king, he says this of God, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David had an intense love for God. And again, when we start talking about David, I remember talking to a guy about David. He said, I hate David. Now, the reason for that is because of the things David did. David wasn't a perfect person. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He did some bad stuff. This guy apparently had it with David, right? And there were some things that, again, David's not perfect. He made some mistakes. Even after Bathsheba, he made some more mistakes. He numbered the yards. He caused a lot of people to die because of his decisions. But the Bible also says of David, he was a man after God's own heart. And one of the reasons why, and then God gave him some amazing promises that from his throne would come the Messiah, and that on his throne, the Messiah would reign forever and ever. Jesus would. To David. And I believe it all comes down to his cause of loving God. He loved God tremendously. And if you and I are going to be successful in overcoming our giants in our life, we need to love God. That's where it all starts. You have to love God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You cannot be a good Christian and not love God. That doesn't make any sense. Being a successful Christian starts with loving God. We're going to learn in the coming weeks that it's not just saying you love God. Because even in the Bible, there are people who said they love God, but in reality, not. But David loved God, for real. And we need to love God, for real. It's a basic requirement. It's an essential thing. If you don't love God, then being successful as a Christian is not an option. And again, loving God means that you'll do what he says. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Next week, we have a special Sunday at our church. It's Love God Sunday. What's it about? Loving God. It's really simple. It's not, we're coming to church. I'm coming to church because I love God. That's it. I'm not coming because any other reason. Now, I come for a lot. I come because I love you. I come because I love our church. I come because I do want to continue being a pastor. I'm pretty sure that if the pastor doesn't come to church, he's probably not going to continue being pastor. But the reality is next Sunday, it's about loving God. And I'm sure that you have a wide variety of reasons why you come as well. But next Sunday, it's about loving God. And everything that we do, whether it be the songs that we sing, the prayers that we make, the offerings that we give, it's all about loving God. Love God. And on that Sunday, that next Sunday, we'll launch a series of messages on loving God. To this point, it's been about our purpose. And next Sunday, we're going to switch tracks to about focus on just loving God. How do we do that? What does that look like? How do we increase our love? The next thing that David had was growth. And our second thing is growing together. And I want to see his growth. When David came to Saul, he recounted a story about something that had happened in his past as a reason for why he could defeat Goliath. Something happened that grew his confidence, his courage, and his faith. And it happens, and the explanation happens in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against his Philistines to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. It's like the obvious statement of the whole story. That's the most duh. And he, a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Again, I don't know what Saul's thinking here. But Goliath was not David's first fight. And again, I know the first fight is a lion. That's not much better as far as ease. But with those experiences, God taught David to trust him. And he grew in his faith and his trust in God. Growth is a huge part of overcoming giants. See, God gives us victories. God gives us truth every single day. And these victories and that truth is given to us so that we might have confidence in God to take on our giants. That's why they're there. We're supposed to grow. And again, living organisms grow, and a successful Christian grows as well. It's an oxymoron to say, I'm Christian, but I'm not growing. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to increase in your faith. You're supposed to add to your faith. We're supposed to get stronger as Christians. That's the idea. We're not supposed to be the same Christian in our faith as we were the day that we trusted Christ. We're supposed to grow in that. And a major part of that is the study, the learning of God's Word. We should grow, and that's what our growth groups are all about, giving you an opportunity to grow through the studying of God's Word in your community with a small group of people. That doesn't get any more plain than that. And it's about connecting on a real level. You see, I've talked about this recently with some folks, and it's easy to get through the handshaking time at our church without being truly connected. Now, I hope we are connected. I hope that we're being honest with each other when we say, how are you? You know, it's good to see you. How are things going? I'm glad you're here, but that's about it. With 100 people or so, that's where it's at. It's just kind of surface, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We still want to have that. But when you start to get into a smaller group, we go below the surface. And we start to connect on a very real level. And that's why. And in that is where you grow. And I want to challenge you. We have growth groups that are starting, that are on our island. The list is everywhere. You can see it. It's in your bulletin. It's when you use the restroom, it's there too. It's all over. Find one. Get connected. Be faithful to it. Because you're supposed to grow. And as you grow, your strength, your courage, your faith will be increased so that you can look the giant square in the eyes and say, with God's help, we're coming after you. That's what growth is about. David's growth gave him confidence to take on Goliath. But then there's another thing that I think that David had. And again, it fits with our theme. David had a desire to see his fellow countrymen saved from the evil that they faced. He wanted to deliver them. He wanted to serve others. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, the Bible says, and David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Hey guys, hey, I know that you're scared. I know that you're trembling. Don't let your heart fail. It's going to be okay. I'm going to go and fight this guy. And I'm sure, again, right. That's, yeah, get him, David. They were all ready to run. This is not going to end well. This is a little kid going down to fight Goliath. But he tells them, hey, don't worry. Don't let your heart fail. Don't get upset about this thing. I'm going to go. I'll fight him. Your servant, I'm going to serve you to deliver you from Goliath. That's what David's cause was. It wasn't the armies of Israel's cause. They weren't into that. And that's why their heart did fail. An essential purpose or cause of a Christian is to have compassion on those around us who are struggling and who are lost without Jesus Christ. In Jude, verse 20 through 23, the Bible says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, that's love, or that's growth, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, there's the love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and here's to serve others. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Our essential causes or purposes can be boiled down to loving God, growing together, and serving others. And I believe with all of my heart that if you will give yourself to those three causes as a Christian, you'll be successful. Just love God, grow together, and serve others. You'll be successful. It's simple. But we need to have compassion. When you see somebody in bondage to a giant, whether it be addiction, whether it be another struggle, whatever it be, when you see them in bondage to their giant, as a Christian, our first response should be to deliver them. I'm going to help you get out of this. I'm going to help you be free. If we're not careful, our response could be criticism. Again, we want to criticize the reason for why they got into bondage in the first place. Again, it's easy to criticize the trapped. It's easy to look at the nation of Israel and say, what are you guys doing? Hey, your God's the creator God. He made this world. Go fight the giant already. Again, easy for you to say reading the story thousands of years later. Of course, go fight the giant. Yeah. And we do that in our own lives to others as well. Hey, get up. What's wrong with you? They're facing a giant. And our response should not be criticism, but compassion. I want to make a difference. I want to help you in your struggle. So what did David do? David got busy about fixing the problem, and fix it he did in an amazing and profound way. And now we talk about this story, thousands of years old, and all that God did through David. So this morning, what's your story? What giants are you facing? Right there, face to face with monsters. To overcome them, you need a cause. You need a purpose. Love God. Love Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your mind. Love Him with all your soul. And then be determined by God's grace, you're going to grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I'm going to grow. It's kind of amazing, but the subject matter of this week's growth group is, in fact, loving God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul. It's a great week to come. And then the final cause that we need to have, don't miss this one, is to serve others with compassion. Hey, I'm gonna help. What could David, again, David looks at, Saul looked at him and says, what are you going to do? You're but a boy. You're a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. What? Saul was right. What are you going to do? Here, try on my armor. The armor doesn't work. I've not proved it. It doesn't fit. But what he took was a sling, some stones. He only needed one. And God did the rest. He was unarmed. No armor. He just had God at his back. And for us, that's what we need. God at our back. Love Him, grow together in Him, and serve others with compassion. If you're here today, I want to leave with one final invitation to come to know Him. He's amazing. God is incredible. And Jesus came specifically to die for you. That's love. But God commendeth or displayed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's awesome. That's amazing. All of us are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God. And the place the Bible defines very clearly is the lake of fire or hell. That's what I deserve for my sin. And when you realize that, and you realize that God loves you, and he gave Jesus for you, the Bible says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Going down into verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're here today, you say, I have some giants in my life. I don't know for sure that heaven is my home. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven. Guess what? There's salvation available. It's here for you today. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. God, I do pray that you would help us to trust you, to help us to see you overcome the giants in our lives. Help us to love you supremely. Help us to grow in your word and with others, and help us to serve others. And Lord, my prayer here today is if there's somebody that does not know you as their Savior, if there's somebody here that's not saved, God, I pray that they would not leave here today without knowing for sure that Jesus is their Savior. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking, I'm just going to do this for sake of privacy. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Well, I want to pray for you, and there is forgiveness and salvation available. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And if you'll raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I will pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, though. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm just going to have you put your hand up and put it right back down. Nobody else will see it but myself. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Just slip your hand up. I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Okay, Christian. We have a week to face. Monday is tomorrow. And there are giants waiting for you. Shoot, they're not going to wait till tomorrow. They're here today. How do we overcome them? Well, let's start by loving God. Let's start by getting connected to our church family, our growth groups, and growing in God's word. And then let's serve others. Let's help other people with compassion. Let's be determined by God's grace. We'll fulfill these purposes. And in that, be successful as a Christian. God, I do thank you so much for your word. I thank you for our church. And God, I do pray that you be with us today as we seek to honor you, to serve you, to live for you. God, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to hymn number 163. The song is called Only Trust Him. So hymn 163, Only Trust Him.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy in